Hello and welcome to Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comic Book Page Podcast. This episode is spotlighting on Space Monkey Comics in Hawaii. I interviewed Rich Melendez, the owner of Space Monkey Comics, on Saturday, July 29th, 2017, at Starbucks in the Ala Moana Hotel. We talked about how Space Monkey Comics got started by selling comics at small conventions and local venues in the Honolulu area, and how it will be evolving into an online eBay store in the near future. Here's my interview with Rich Melendez of Space Monkey Comics. Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. You know, I'm here with Richard Melendez.
Correct.
Okay, of Space Monkey Comics. So, we're here. We're going to talk about, how he's going to promote Space Monkey Comics and, the plans for Space Monkey Comics. So, I'm also going to apologize to the listeners and also to Drew and John. Sorry. I thought when I met Richard back at the Toy Expo a couple months ago, I thought, Rich was already, selling comics on Facebook. But actually what it is, he does a pop-up model at first where he just, comes to conventions or expos and, sells his comics over there. But he's also looking to expand in the next few weeks to do, to go sell his comics on eBay. So, without further ado, I'm ready. Here's Rich Melendez of Space Monkey Comics.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for your time, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about Space Monkey today.
Wow. Thanks, Rich. So, Rich, I'm just going to start off, some questions, background questions. So, what was your first gateway comic?
I don't know if there was just one comic, but I remember my sister reading me Hulk 104, which was the Hulk and the Rhino, possibly one of their first fights. And it must have been a reprint issue, just thinking about my age at the time. Uh-huh. But I remember her reading me that, like a bedtime story. I also remember I was really big into Power Records, which were comic books with a 45-speed vinyl record that came inserted that was narrating the actual comic, telling you when to turn the page, provided sound effects and the dialogue. And I had, about a half dozen of those at least. And that was a big part of my childhood. Just a real thing I got to charge out of. And I would listen to those, play them, and replay them until the records couldn't play anymore. And I would just read the comics and just enjoy the heck out of them.
Wow, that's pretty good. And, so how long have you been collecting comics?
I mean, I've been into comics since, childhood, like I was saying, my sister reading me comics from when I was little. As far as me actively going out and saving my allowance and buying them, I mean, I'd say probably as of about 8 years. I mean, 8 years old, mm-hmm. maybe give or take a year, but, really young, pretty much all my life, mm-hmm. quite literally all my life.
And then I'm just going to ask, so when did you, seriously start collecting comics, bagging them and boarding them?
I mean, that would probably have to be mid-teens. Mid-teens to late teens, which corresponded to the mid-80s to late 80s. And it was particularly the X-Men run, Chris Claremont's late John Romita era, or John Romita Jr. era. And as he was getting some of the other artists, particularly Silvestri,
mm-hmm. yes,
Silvestri, yeah. And that run, was it the Outback era?
Yes,
but even before then, the Fall of the Mutants, the Mutant Massacre, it was right around that period when I was hooked, full on, and I could afford to maintain mm-hmm. a habit and do that regularly on my own. Long time.
About, how large is your collection right now? Just give me an estimate.
I would say between 40 to 50 boxes.
So, about how much in long boxes, right?
Yeah.
About how much in a long box?
Short boxes.
Short boxes. Okay.
And depending if they're not boarded, I think it's about 200 per box. If they're boarded, about 100 to 150.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good collection. Now, out of your personal collection, what is the one issue or run that you treasure the most?
When I first got this question and I was game planning for it, I really didn't think there was an answer, but I want to say it was a
crossover of Marvel and DC. It was the Uncanny X-Men and the New Teen Titans.
I remember getting that issue right off the stands, and it just floored me. I mean, just the Chris Claremont story, the Simonson art, you know, Darkseid and Dark Phoenix. It was just an incredible, the scope, the epic, you know. And because it is a Marvel-DC crossover, you know, it's not going to be reprinted often at all. And, you know, I haven't seen it too many times out in the wild. So that one I kind of cherish, and that one I hold on to a lot.
So I'm going to go a little bit off track here, but we know Chris Claremont's coming down to Amazing. Are you going to get him to autograph that?
That's a good point. I'm not sure if I can find it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's quite possible, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, before we continue, you know, guys, you know, we're here at the Ala Moana Hotel. We're at the Starbucks. So, you know, we're doing the interview here. So if you hear a lot of background noises, like the blender in the background, that's where we are. We're at the Starbucks in the Ala Moana Hotel. So I'm going to continue with my questions. You know, what is the one comic, you know, that you always wanted for your personal collection, but, you know, never got it? Or it's kind of like your white whale. What's your white whale for your own personal collection?
You know, I'll be honest. I don't know if I ever had a white whale or because I might be an oddball collector in the sense, but I don't covet the actual issues. Like, I want the story. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I'll throw out an example, like the Dark Phoenix Saga. Uh-huh. For years, I wanted to read the Dark Phoenix Saga, and then I caught it in a reprint. Uh-huh. You know, I caught a collected volume of that, and I was totally happy with that. So I didn't need to dig at the archives and save up hundreds of dollars to find, you know, the issue where Jean Grey becomes Phoenix or where Phoenix kills herself. You know, I was happy with just having a collected reprint. So I think at this age, too, where in this era where you can get digital comics and reprints galore and everything is available all the time, so I don't know if I have that white whale issue anymore.
You've got a very good point, because right now everything is pretty much available on digital. What are some of the current titles are you reading today?
I'm always been a big Marvel guy, and I continue to be a big Marvel guy. I know Marvel's been getting a lot of flack lately. If you read the comics press, you know, everybody says Marvel's in decline, and the characters. And I think they're doing some great things. I mean, I'm really getting a kick out of Secret Empire. You know, that event, it's such a well-done story. Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes.
It's amazing, amazing stuff he's doing there. And I'm really bummed that the spin-off series got canceled, you know, the crew and the role of Wakanda. I'm also big on America featuring America Chavez. To me, that's a fun comic. Okay. Not like anything else that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Marvel, I've been enjoying Tom King's run on Batman.
That's
been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the Young Animals imprint with DC with Shade Patrol, Shade the Changing Girl. Those are all fun.
Keith Carson
as a cybernetic guy.
That's
a lot of fun stuff. And it reminds me of when I was the first wave of Vertigo, pre-Vertigo, you know, the early 90s, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got some of that energy, so I've been really digging that. And there's a new imprint or a new publisher out now called Lions Forge.
Yes, I've kind of heard of it,
And they've been drizzling out their new titles. So I've been, Noble was the first one. It's been like three issues out. There's a new title, I think, Excel or Accelerate, that I haven't read yet. But so far, I've been enjoying the line.
Okay.
And it's been good fun.
All right. And then, now, before you started Space Monkeys, like, did you kind of like sell comics on the side? Like, you know, like maybe just sell it to some close friends, or did you kind of do your own swap meet thing?
Not at all, actually. Not at all. Several years ago, me and two friends had talked about opening a comic book store, a brick and mortar store. I mean, this was well over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, it never happened.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of that. But prior to Space Monkey, or even in the year or two leading Space Monkey, I never really sold my comics. It was pretty much a comics hoarder. You know, I just had boxes and boxes. And what changed was I moved. I actually had two apartments at once. I got a new place, and it overlapped with my old place for about a month. So I was able to do a lot of moving on my own. And at the time, I had a little compact car. And I figured, okay, after work, let me move some boxes, let me move some stuff if I can. And then at the end of the month, I'll get a friend to help me with the big furniture. And I realized that month, when I was shuttling back and forth in my little compact car, 90% of that was comic books. Or books.
Wow.
You know? Comic books and books. But I mean, it was just, And I told him, I never read it. So Space Monkey actually started with the need for me to unload my comics. But by the nature of it, it's, you know, buy, sell, trade. So I accumulate as many as I sell. So
oh, okay.
It didn't quite work out as planned, but it's more fun this way instead of just hoarding it. You know, at least it's rotating.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to say that's a great segue. So can you describe for, you know, to the listeners, what is Space Monkey Comics?
We are a comic book pop-up comic book purveyor. So a comic book dealer, buy, sell, trade. And we have this pop-up model where we'll show up. Currently, we're showing up at events. So a lot of the local conventions, Kawaii-Con, the Toy Expo, the Toy and Comic Expo, you know, Comic-Con Honolulu sometimes. And so just the local models. And we also there's a local event that takes place monthly called Art and Flea.
What is that?
It takes place in the Kaka'ako area of Honolulu by Ward. And it's a monthly, and I don't mean this in a bad derogatory way, but it's a hipster flea market, pretty much. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of artisans. People make their own clothing, their own jewelry, people reselling stuff. There's these guys, Secret Record Store, who sell vinyl, why they DJ the event.
Yeah.
And that's how actually we started, was there. Very small, just started with like a box or two. And then realizing there might be something there, kind of grew from there. That's how Space Monkey is here.
How long have some Space Monkey, you know, been operating?
As a brand, well, we've been incorporated since June of 2016. As a brand, since December of 2015.
Okay.
And then unofficially unbranded for about a year or two before that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, you know, I figure 2013, 2014 to now.
Okay. So at least about four years, right?
I figure, yeah, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but officially a Space Monkey, about a year to year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, let's see. You know, was this like a dream job that you always wanted to do, like sell your comics?
Not necessarily. Like I mentioned, you know, well over a decade ago, we talked about opening a comic shop.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was necessarily a dream so much. It was just, I really enjoyed comics and, you know, working something you love doing.
Yeah.
So I love comics, and, you know, so I figured, okay, I can do this, and that didn't happen, but the opportunity came arose again.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I could do this. This is fun. So far, so good. So I won't say it's a dream, but I'm enjoying it.
But I think it's more love. Yeah, I should have rephrased the words like, is this something that you'd love to do, you know, and this is a side job, correct?
Oh, correct, yeah. This is the side hustle one that is.
I'm going to get off a little track here, but Rich, can you just explain to the listeners, like, what's your real-life full-time job?
By day, I'm a content manager and special projects manager for a local company. Mm-hmm. So I'm part of our marketing team, in short, handling a lot of the writing, event coordination, and similar activities for the company. Aside from that, I am a managing editor for a small local magazine called Abstract Magazine, which comes out about once or twice a year, and that's a lot of fun. So I'm the managing editor of that, and I contribute stories now. And outside of that, Space Monkey, you know, which has been filling up the rest of my time, what little time I have at this point. Yeah.
Abstract Magazine, I'm just going to ask, you know, is that something that people can find online, or is it just, you know, like a, is it like just a publication magazine?
Good question. We are primarily a print publication, small local circulation, about 5,000 copies per issue. We do have a website, abstracthawaii.com. Many of our stories are reprinted online, and we also do have an ordering page, or an online store, so if people actually want to order a print copy, they can go there and find past issues and order a copy.
All right, so, you know, for listeners, so if you guys are interested in, you know, Abstract Magazines, you know, Rich just gave the website, so, you know, please, if you guys get a chance, you know, check them out. And I'm going to still continue on with our questions. How did you guys come up with the company name?
I wanted something that was fun, and that seemed inviting. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to name names, but, you know, a lot of other comic shops locally and abroad tend to have very serious names or something that evokes something very fantasy or very sci-fi. And it paints a certain picture. It's not a negative picture, but I wanted something that had a different vibe to that. Mm-hmm. And Space Monkey, to me, seems, just the way it rolls off the tongue, Space Monkey, just seems, you know, sort of like a swish, swashbuckling, adventurous, fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mascot, which obviously everybody can't see, but it's, you know, it's this cute little monkey with this grin wearing an astronaut helmet. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed fun and inviting. And I found, too, when people are walking by us at cons, they'll just kind of initially look at us, they'll just see comics, and they look up and they see the mascot, and you can see their face, they get this smile, and then they kind of nod, and then they come over. So there's something that's connecting with at least the look or the name or the vibe of the Space Monkey brand, which, you know, so if it draws people in, you know, to our table or booth, then all the better.
Okay. And then I know you guys have Instagram. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. Let me go back. So who developed the mascot?
The mascot, the concept was my idea. I mean, it was a monkey in an astronaut suit. And the actual design was done by Grace Chi. We're business partners, and she did the design for, you know, for Space Monkey. Just did it kind of based on my direction. And she's also done our website, and any graphic needs, any designing needs we've needed along the way, she's been the go-to person.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Okay. So I know you guys have followers on Instagram and Facebook, correct?
Correct.
So I'm going to ask, you know, like, did you guys do the Space Monkey, like going to the expos and the cons first, or did you guys start to do the Instagram and Facebook to get, like, attract customers? Like, what came first?
Oh, good question. I think it came around the same time. We had an event at the end of 2015, December 2015. And when that event was coming up, we kind of realized, you know, this is a good opportunity to kind of launch as Space Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, instead of just being the guy selling comics out of boxes, yeah. I mean, to actually have the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 2 weeks of runway, and we said, okay, well, let's make a banner. Okay, let's make some signs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, here's the name. And, you know, we whipped out the mascot. And in that window of a week or two, I just threw up the Facebook page and the Instagram page and started pushing the event. Hey, we're going to be here, you know, on such and such date in December. So it all kind of came together at the same time.
Okay. And then, like, when, if you, I don't know, I'm going to ask the question, like, when you guys put this all together, you know, did you guys get a lot of hits on your Facebook and Instagram? Like, hey, you know, I'll see you there, or hey, what table are you at, or anything? Did you guys get a lot of followers?
Not initially. I mean, the growth has been, the attention has been very slow. I mean, this event was actually the first event of its type. It wasn't a traditional Comic-Con. It was called Paper and Plastic, and it was something that we actually put in conjunction with the local college radio station, KTUH.
Oh, yeah.
So it was an event that we did at Bar 35 in Chinatown. Okay. And we figured, okay, we're going to sell comics, the paper, and they're going to sell their records, plastic.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of a mini flea market. It was just them selling records, me selling comics.
Yeah.
And they had a DJ.
Uh-huh.
And they had the bar going. So it was sort of a last-minute event.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so that's how that came about.
And then, you know, ever since then, have you been, like, getting, has your followers, have they been increasing?
Slowly but surely.
Okay.
Slowly but surely. I mean, after an event, there'll be a small spike, you know, hand out business cards, and people will see our presence or banner. There'll be a small spike in likes. If I use an appropriate hashtag, there was one, I forgot what it was, but it was a comic-related post. It was a humorous post. And one of the hashtags was Parenting 101, just, you know, in an ironic way.
Yeah.
And I got all these hits from, like, parenting websites and parenting magazines and, you know, spike in likes. And it's like, well, it wasn't intentional, but I'll take it.
Before we continue, I'm just going to ask, you know, can you just, like, name, like, your Instagram and your Facebook website?
I'll name the...
Where can people find you?
Yeah. On Instagram, we're at Space Monkey Hawaii. And Facebook, it's facebook.com/SpaceMonkeyHawaii.
Okay.
Or the actual page name is Space Monkey Comics Hawaii.
Okay.
And if people want to email us, it's spacemonkeyhawaii@gmail.com.
And then, you know, for everyone, you know, I've checked out their Instagram, their Facebook. You know, it's really great. You know, they did little memorial tributes to the late Adam West. And I'm going to ask, let me ask this other question. It's not written on here, but, you know, what do you post on your Facebook and the Instagram?
If we're nearing an event, I'll post, you know, promotionals to the events, just, you know, gearing up, hey, it's one more day, two more days, we're going to be here, here's what we're going to be featuring at the event. If it's those lulls between actual events, it's a mix of maybe link sharing, like the aforementioned tributes, like Adam West, you know, you mentioned. So, you know, post things or links or stories that I think of might be interest to my followers, comic related usually. sometimes a shout out to a comic that I'm reading at a particular time. More often than not, I am taking out of context panels from comic books. And just, a screenshot of them or a scan of them and just something humorous. And just kind of tag on just to keep the engagement up, keep us, top of mind and keep the presence there. And then the next event comes and then we'll shift the focus of our posts to more event focused.
But I've seen some of those screenshots, and yeah, some of them are pretty funny.
Thanks. I bet somebody thinks so.
Now, I'm going to jump around a little bit because, like you mentioned, sometimes you give a shout out to a comic that you're reading. Since you're a writer and you're an editor, do you read comics for fun, or do you kind of go, they should have done this, or I don't know if that worked?
First and foremost, for fun, always. Always, always for fun. If I can forget I'm reading a comic, that's probably the best type of comic. The exceptions to that would be like if it's a really bad comic or something's not clicking with me, then my analytical mind would go in and it's like, okay, why didn't it work? Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have done this with that scene or that dialogue didn't work or the character would never do that. The flip side is if it's a really, really well done comic, and I'd be so wowed, I'm like, how did they do that? How did they move me? Or how did they do the transition? Or how did they keep the momentum? If it's a really well-done comic, then I'll try to pick it apart. But I'd say a good 75% of the comics I read, I can just totally lose myself and shut off the editor in me. Enjoy the ride as is.
Okay. I know you mentioned before we started that Brian Michael Bendis is one of your favorite writers. Do you have any other favorite writers?
Oh, gosh. My top five list of anything will change from month to month, week to week. But, Brian Michael Bendis, I'm a big fan of Warren Ellis, who actually mentioned comics that I'm enjoying right now. I'm really digging his run on. It's called The Wildstorm. And it's his reimagining of the Wildstorm universe, starting from scratch. And it's so well done. So I really like Warren Ellis. Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's doing Black Panther right now. So many others. Of course, Grant Morrison, so many greens, Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. I'd say right now, I think those are my top few, top 3 to 4. Bendis, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Warren Ellis. Mm-hmm. Just knocking it out of the park right now.
You're the third person that has told me about the Wildstorm that they're enjoying it. Because Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit and John Mayall, they reviewed, they reviewed one issue. Wildstorm number one, they said they loved it. So I'm not going, okay, maybe I need to pick up this comic.
I recommend it.
Yeah. All right. Before I continue, like I said, a little bit of a sidetrack, but I know Brian Michael Bendis was here last year at Amazing Comic Con. Have you met him or any of the other writers that you met? You mentioned.
I haven't met Brian Michael Bendis. Actually, there was a funny story, but I couldn't make that particular con because of a family emergency. But Grace, who I mentioned earlier, was going, and I think I may have jokingly asked her, get me a picture or get me something. Mm-hmm. And she actually turned around and she got a picture of her with Brian Michael Bendis, and Bendis is holding up a sign that says, "Rich, where are you, you loser?" So I actually got that picture of the two of them, and I actually got that sign that he was holding up. And
that's nice.
he actually signed a comic, or she purchased the Daredevil comic that he signed for me too, which I've got also. Mm-hmm. Other than that, since I'm usually behind the table, I don't get out too often to meet too many of the creators, but I did have the opportunity at, I forget which con, it was James Robinson, the writer from Starman.
Yes.
He was here recently.
He was here last year.
I forget which con it was, but he was here last year. And I was a huge fan of Starman when it came out. And I'm enjoying, he's doing a Nick Fury series right now, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's my list of comics I'm enjoying right now. But so when he came here, I actually had a fanboy moment. And I told myself, okay, it's cool, I'm going to play it cool, I'm going to get him to sign my books, I'm not going to fanboy out. And then when he opened his mouth, I just totally fanboyed out, and I just rambled on and on like I am now. And it was such a fanboy moment, it was funny. Mm-hmm. And then of course I'm like, okay, I've embarrassed myself to death. And I turn around and I happen to bump into somebody and make the moment all the more awkward. And, middle-aged man being awkward, it was funny. Now I think it's funny. At the time I was sweating bullets.
Rich, you're not the only one. Trust me, we've all had our fanboy moments. You know, and I'm sure like Drew and John probably have had theirs too. Going back to Space Monkey. So the Space Monkey comic inventory, like, what do you have most? Like, do you have like things from the modern, silver, golden age, any keys, autograph issues?
Good question. Most of my stuff, since this started with my personal collection initially, most of the stuff is Bronze Age and Modern Age. Okay. So I'd say from like the mid-80s mm-hmm. through the 90s and early 2000s, mm-hmm. the majority. Mm-hmm. I have come across very few Silver Age, mm-hmm. No Golden Age,
okay.
And probably nothing from within the last 3 years, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. for the most part.
And then, let's see, what about like, do you have like any autograph issues or variant cover issues? Do you sell those too?
If I come across them, I sell them. As a reader, I don't chase them.
Okay.
As a reader, I've never really been into the variants mm-hmm. or the autographs. So as a vendor, I don't really sell them. Although, when I make purchases, I usually purchase in lots.
Mm-hmm.
And as I go through and I'm pricing out the lots, mm-hmm. and I'll see like, oh, you know, this is the standard cover, I'll see it's a variant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll price it accordingly as the variant. So I come across some, I do have some, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily that I'm hunting them down or targeting them.
No, because that's a great segue. So how do you go about replenishing your stock? Oh, well, I'm sorry, let me take a step back. So when you're at these small conventions or expos, this is from your personal, the comics are from your personal collection that you're selling?
The seeds of what Space Monkey does, it started off as my personal collection. But I've sold off plenty of that, and I've replenished plenty of that. So I do, I do make purchases. I've had people approach me, do you buy comics? So I do purchase, I prefer to purchase lots as opposed to onesies, twosies, but I'll happily do the onesies, twosies.
Yeah.
But I usually purchase lots, you know, mm-hmm. boxes at a time, mm-hmm. or at least a box at a time. So I've had people approach me. Sometimes I'll troll Craigslist.
Okay.
And I'll see, Hawaii has a very transient population. So you have mm-hmm. a lot of military coming and going, a lot of people leaving for the mainland for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get rid of their collections. And just even a lot of locals too. So I'll see what's out there and, you know, if they have anything that looks interesting, mm-hmm. I'll take a look and go from there.
Oh, okay. Because, that basically answers my next question. Like, you know, how do you, go about, replenishing the stocks? Let's see. The other thing I wanted to ask, I know you sell single issues. Do you also sell like graphic novels, trades, and hardcovers?
Yes. Yes, okay. I do. Yeah. So as I come across those, I'll happily sell them. Mm-hmm. A lot of those too initially came from my personal collection. Mm-hmm. But like I said, as I purchase stock and rotate more mm-hmm. material in, I've been making those acquisitions too.
The other question I'm going to ask, I know you said that, when you first started, it was mostly your personal collection. I'm going to ask, it's like, was it hard to sell some of your collection? Like, I'm letting this go, I have to let this go, goodbye. Was it hard or anything?
That's a good question. It was not as hard as I thought it would be.
Okay.
And I think the impetus for me selling this was I had gone through a move. Mm-hmm. It was such a burden to have all these. I just felt like this huge albatross uh-huh. in the back of my Mazda.
Yeah.
So it was actually sort of a relief to start selling them.
Uh-huh.
With that said, though, there's some that I'm not quite ready to part with.
Yeah.
The aforementioned New Teen Titans, X-Men, crossover. Mm-hmm. That one I'm not going to sell. Or if I do come across other copies, mm-hmm. I'm still going to maintain at least one copy for myself.
Yes. Yeah.
In general, there's been other ones that I haven't quite been ready to sell. I think, now that I think about it, I think a lot of DC Marvel crossovers,
mm-hmm.
just because they haven't been reprinted, yeah. or they're so seldom reprinted, mm-hmm. so, I'll kind of keep those for myself, mm-hmm. Like the All Access, Marvel vs. DC, things like that. A few others that can't come to mind right now, but I know I have some that I'm not quite ready to sell.
No, but I mean, that's understandable. There's some that's like, this is mine. Out of your little personal collection, I can't remember, what is the most... What's the one issue you probably won't let go? Like for me, I won't sell my giant size X-Men number one. Not until I'm close to dying. Like, is there one particular or a couple issues that you won't sell?
Other than the ones I mentioned to you just now, I can't say definitively no. There's nothing I wouldn't sell eventually. I'll be honest. I said that maybe this is maybe makes me an unusual collector, because I don't covet the item so much as I just enjoy reading them, enjoy the story. Yeah. If I have a reprint of a classic, I'm happy with the reprint. And I just enjoy the joy of reading, and actually the joy of sharing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I've got this great story, I've read it a million times. Oh, you haven't read this yet? Oh my God, you got to read this, here you go. And I'll gladly sell it to somebody who, you know, will get a chance to enjoy it for the first time.
Okay. Because, and, you know, it's kind of like, because I think it's kind of like, I'm going to say it because, yeah, it's like we're jumping a little bit ahead. Like, yeah, I was going to ask, like, do you have certain satisfaction in selling the comics?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Aside from what I mentioned before about this being a burden, how it started was because it was a burden to try to do comics. But I, now that it's evolved and I'm still acquiring as much as I sell, when I go to these cons and I have the face-to-face experience, I mean, I love the experience of, well, talking about comics like we are now, but, you know, geeking out with other collectors, but even meeting other people who maybe are just getting into comics and you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not the oddest, I think one of the most heartwarming interactions was like, I mean, this girl had to be about 10, and she loved Aquaman, and she was looking for Aquaman.
Oh.
And I mean, you have diehard fans who are, you know, my age or, you know, younger, and they have no interest in Aquaman. And for whatever reason, you know, this preteen girl was really into Aquaman, and she's looking for Aquaman. And that, to me, was awesome that, you know, I mean, there's still life, and there's still, you know, this eagerness to just track down a character that, by some measures, is, I won't say obscure, but not A-list, you know, but she loves it, you know, and it's neat. So, I mean, I love turning people on to new things, helping them find what maybe nobody else is into, and things like that. It's a really neat experience.
Let's see. The other thing I wanted to, like I said, I'm sorry, guys, I'm kind of sort of jumping around, and I'll get back on track, but, you know, you know, your customers, the ones that follow you on Instagram or Facebook and at the conventions, you know, do you take requests on certain issues that are not in your stock? Like, say, for example, someone at a con goes, hey, Rich, you know, I'm looking for X-Men number 54. If you ever come across it, give me a call. Does that ever happen? And do you guys do that?
Answer backwards. In theory, we'll do that.
Okay.
You know, and I have had people ask me.
Mm-hmm.
My stock doesn't rotate all that fast now, so I'm not knocking on doors and beating the streets day in, day out.
Yeah.
So if I don't have 54 today, extra 54 today, I probably won't have it for several months.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, with that said, but usually at a con environment, I'll say, you know, I don't have it, but the guys in that booth over there, I know they got a lot of Silver Age X-Men, maybe check with them and things like that. So, I mean, I'll turn on to other booths at the event immediately. With that said, though, I'll still take the name and number.
Yeah.
And I said, if I do come across it,
I'll
check. But, I, you know, with the caveat, like I told you, that I'm not actively hunting stock now, so maybe a while.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of people to ask, because, you know, you can only bring anywhere from like 15 to 20 boxes to an event.
Yeah.
So I'll have people say, oh, do you have such and such?
Mm-hmm.
And I may not have it there,
but
I know I have it at home.
Okay.
I can only bring so much stock to them.
Yeah.
So I'll take their name and number, I'll give them my name and number, and I'll say, you know, or I'll even ask, are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Check in the booth first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I'll go home that night, and I'll dig, and see if I have it.
Like your short boxes. Sorry, I'm kind of like going a little off track, but, you know, do you have them like alphabetized, or do you like, okay, this box is all of my X-Men run, this is, you know, all my Action Comics, my Superman comics, you know?
That's a great question. No. Well, because as I accumulated these through the years, they were just sort of chronological.
Okay.
So I guess each box was sort of like a geological era. You know, you can dig like, okay, this era was the early 90s. Oh, this box was the late 90s. As I started selling them, you know, there's the need to organize them. So I've been fishing out and I've been organizing. So I do have, you know, my X-Men section, my, you know, Batman section, my, you know, so I do have them broken. The ones that I'm actively selling, I do have broken down.
Yeah.
But that said, there's still a lot of inventory that I haven't separated and poured through yet.
Mm-hmm.
As they come out, they will be separated and organized.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's see. Now, this question is from Drew. You know, like, when you're at conventions, you know, do you have an estimate of what kind of volumes are you selling, you know, at a convention? Like, sorry, Drew, I'm kind of adjusting your question, but, like, do you have volume, you know, that you're selling at conventions, like units, like, you know, a lot or run is one unit, and do you have, like, you know, like how much money, just an estimate. And if you don't want to talk about the money part, that's fine. But like, how much money do you like make at each con or something?
I have no qualms talking about the money. You know, and it varies from con to con.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a lot of just $2 comics. Just everything I had was $2.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would do fairly well with that. You know?
Okay.
Then later on, I started, you know, coming across and actually pricing some of the more valuable comics mm-hmm. accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't price it before, I just wasn't selling the more valuable comics right. before. But then I would fish them out. I was like, you know, I can get $50 for this
okay.
one. I can get $20 for mm-hmm. that one, $100. So I would, you know, fish those out and sell them. And with mixed success, sometimes they would sell or not sell.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to get back to your initial question, as far as actual units,
yeah.
it varies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actual dollars, that varies. Mm-hmm. But more yeah. or less, I break even on the table. So let's put it that way. I'll break even whatever the table cost is for the convention.
Uh-huh.
To date, I've more or less broken even.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit profit,
yeah.
maybe a little bit under. Yeah, that's where you start.
And then, you know, Drew, again, I'm just adjusting your question to our interview. You mentioned about pricing. I'm also going to talk a little bit about grading. Like, how subjective is customer grading versus your grading? Such as, I'm just throwing an example. Like, let's say X-Men 141, you're looking at it, and you kind of go, you know, kind of looks like a fine condition. But someone, and you price it accordingly. And your pricing, do you go through the buyer's guide, or how do you go about pricing the comics?
That's a good question. As I price comics, I reference about three or four different sources. I do reference the buyer's guide.
Mm-hmm.
I reference, I won't name names, but there's a major online vendor of comic books. I'll see what they're selling it for.
Okay.
And they also happen to list the different grades, what they're selling the different grades mm-hmm. for. I check eBay to see what it's sold for recently, or what people are asking for now. And that's pretty much it. Like, I'll check three different sources. I kind of find a medium from those numbers that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
I'll say, okay, that's what they're selling for. I'm looking at those. Yeah, I think I can get this much for it.
Okay.
You know, I'll kind of price it that way.
But that's pretty good. That, like you said, you're not just only relying on one source. You're doing like different. You're looking at different areas and then just trying to find them. That's really good.
Yeah.
And then going back to the grading, like, you know, subjective wise, like, you know, if you think a comic book is in fine condition, but then someone comes up to you, go, I think this is a good or very good. You know, have you come across some of those customers?
I haven't come across that. I mean, my prices are negotiable in general anyway. I mean, I may think I'm going to get this for $50. You know, if a guy says, nah, it's only $10. You know, maybe I'll walk.
Yeah.
I haven't had that happen.
Okay.
But, you know, but I mean, if they say, oh, 50, oh, it looks like it's worth 40,
mm-hmm.
I might listen to them. Or if they want to talk me down, if they want to negotiate,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to, you know, to budge.
Mm-hmm.
But to your specific example, I haven't had people question my prices or my grading as being inappropriate or off.
Let's see. I'm just going to ask, you know, like, this side, I'm going to try to ask this best I can. Like, did you, like some of your customers, you know, did you ever feel like you got kind of cheated at some times? Like, and if you don't want to answer that question, that's fine.
I mean, by making a purchase?
Yeah. Or, you know, well, either purchasing or someone buying something from you. They're like, no, I think this is lower than that.
No. Okay. I haven't come across that. Nothing that I, no transaction that I felt like I got the wrong end of the line.
Okay. What about purchasing skills? Because you brought up a very good point,
Not on individual items.
Okay.
I purchased a lot from somebody that I found on Craigslist.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he described the lot one way, and the photos of the lot were a certain way. When I actually got to see, there was a lot more fluff for that collection. Just a lot, not as much good stuff, or the stuff that I thought was good was out of great condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to talk him down a bit. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I necessarily got ripped off, but I thought there was a misrepresentation going on.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to keep moving on, and then, like, you know, I'm going to get back to, come back to, in a couple weeks, we talked about earlier that you're, in a couple weeks, Space Monkey Comics is going to start selling comics on eBay, correct?
That's my hope. eBay, and then I think in talking with you,
mm-hmm.
I realize, you know, Facebook Marketplace or even
mm-hmm.
Instagram Marketplace might be possibilities
mm-hmm.
too, but that's my hope. I found that this pop-up model solely by itself is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. I think where you have, if you have a brick and mortar comic shop and they're selling comics day in, day out, and then, you know, in a given month or they decide to do a convention, mm-hmm. they can easily afford the table costs.
Yeah.
And if they take a loss, it may not be that big a deal because mm-hmm. they've got this brick and mortar operation mm-hmm. going day in, day out.
Yeah.
In Space Monkey's situation, this is the only game we've got going. Mm-hmm. So if we go to an event and we take a loss at that event, we've taken a loss. You know, there's no
recovery
order to make it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to expand into online sales, you know, eBay and lots mm-hmm. of other channels. So, and it's something I thought about for a while, because mm-hmm. here in Hawaii, we have, you know, anywhere from like 4 to 6 cons a year,
uh-huh.
you yes. know, with several months where there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it'd be nice to maybe find a way to fill those gaps, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, if you only have one con a month or every other month,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to do the rest of the year?
Yeah.
And then realizing as I got further along that, yeah, just the pop-up only mm-hmm. isn't really working out, the need and the desire to explore online sales mm-hmm. became more powerful. So,
yeah.
So I figured that could maybe be my equivalent of the brick and mortar.
Uh-huh.
And if that goes well,
yes.
then yeah. I can afford these cons
yeah.
and I can do the pop-ups more,
mm-hmm.
you know, without worrying about like, you know, if I take a loss, it's a small loss
yeah.
versus, you know, it's going to bankrupt me for the next few months or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Hyperbole, not bankrupt.
Oh, no, no, yeah. And, you know, what was the process for you to, you know, for our listeners who are interested in maybe to set up something on eBay? You know, do you mind talking about, like, the process of, like, how did you start up, you know, going through the eBay steps and so forth?
I mean, it's been very, I mean, I'm in the very baby steps mm-hmm. Right now. I mean, it started just looking to see what other guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next step is to set up your own eBay account.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set one up as a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, pardon me on the terminology, but I mean, individuals can sell on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to actually set yourself up, position yourself as a business on eBay,
mm-hmm.
It's some slightly different steps.
Awesome.
So what I found is when I actually tried to set up a business presence, they said, oh, you can't do that until you actually make a sale first. So I have to make a sale, I presume, as an individual.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, mm-hmm. then I can make a business presence,
mm-hmm.
you know, on eBay. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
I know they also ask for banking information,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, gather up. And I know when I was initially registering, I didn't have that information in front of me. So now you go back and enter that in. But, yes. But like I said, I'm in the very baby steps right mm-hmm. now. So, I mean, I'm sure if somebody went to eBay now and searched Space Monkey, I'm not even going to show up yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
So hopefully in the next few weeks. And we would definitely keep people posted on our
yes.
social media accounts if people do follow us.
Yeah.
You know, okay. As it happens.
Okay. And then, let's see, when you do start selling on eBay, I'm just trying to clarify. So is it just going to be for Hawaii residents, or are you looking like mainland and beyond type?
I, you know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. My instinct is to say whoever wants to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they happen to be in Texas or
mm-hmm.
Florida or China or
mm-hmm.
Seattle, you know, I'll happily sell to them.
Okay.
You know, if they find that it's worth it and
mm-hmm.
they can't find it in their area and
yeah.
the shipping
yes,
is
yeah.
out. Power to them. Yeah,
okay.
Sell to anybody.
Okay. And then, you know, and you don't have to answer this question, but would the postage be included or is that going to be tacked on?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet. Yeah. I cautiously, tentatively, I'd say I'd probably tack on an additional postage fee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What that would look like, I have no idea at this
yeah.
point.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No. Rich, thanks for answering that.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Yeah. Let's see. And then for eBay, let's see. What is the future looking for Space Monkey Comics right now? I know you're going to start the eBay thing up in a few weeks.
I mean, I hope to have a robust, active, mixed presence. There, things are active online. I'm getting
mm-hmm.
a nice amount of online sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, through that, I will be able to resume going to these cons, you know, with regularity
mm-hmm.
instead of picking and choosing.
Yes.
You know, just being able to go pretty much any of them.
Yeah.
And hopefully that one will sustain the other.
Uh-huh.
And then down the line, way down the line, you know, there's been talk of some sort of brick and mortar store. Not a traditional comic shop.
Oh, yeah.
Not where we'd be doing new comics
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Diamond Distributors,
mm-hmm.
waiting for the Wednesday Hall, nothing
yeah.
like that. But more of a, you know, maybe more of like an antique shop type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Just for focusing on comics, maybe other items.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, basically it would just be a primarily comic shop,
uh-huh.
you know, with a vintage comic
mm-hmm.
shop, I should say.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, I'm going to clarify. Were you thinking of also starting up a website too?
I do currently have a website.
Okay.
Very basic right now, uh-huh. where we just describe what we are, and we have we'll post what events are coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
And there is space for an online store. So depending how things look with the eBay mm-hmm. or the Facebook Marketplace or Instagram, I don't know if I'd actually have a separate store, mm-hmm. the store that links to my eBay page,
mm-hmm.
or that's just saying what's going on eBay. I'm mm-hmm. not sure what it would look like, but there is an intent to somehow integrate the website with whatever online sales we do, however that looks in the future.
No, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good that you're going to try to link them two together. That's pretty good. Before we wrap up, I'm going to go back to your writer and editor background. On your Instagram or Facebook, have you done any comic reviews on your Facebook or Instagram?
I haven't done, on those particular channels, I haven't done a full-on review, critical analysis, anything like that. I've done maybe a quick shout-out mm-hmm. saying, I'm really liking Tom King's run on Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you haven't picked up America,
mm-hmm.
Check it out. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I've done like a few line type of reviews like that, uh-huh. shout-outs. More than a decade ago, I don't remember the website. I did some online reviews, maybe a handful. I can count on one hand that I've written for them.
Uh-huh.
More recently, here in Hawaii, there's a web channel called ThinkTech Hawaii.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity, through a friend of a friend who got me involved with them, to do, I wouldn't call it the video blog so much, but it was like a weekly episode that I do. It's like a 5-minute, 10-minute segment where I could do a comic review or talk about comics culture
mm-hmm.
or something along those lines. So I did about a dozen or two episodes of that type. I know I did one talking about Starman
uh-huh. in general. Yeah.
I did one talking about geek culture and mm-hmm. San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So I've done some reviews mm-hmm. of some sort. Now, those started off as actual written scripts that I would mm-hmm. read mm-hmm. online and modify. So I've thought about modifying those yet again to make them more compact and
uh-huh.
possibly posting them on my website or on Facebook or somehow.
Yeah.
But I guess to run out to your original question, no. That's the short answer.
No, but that's great. That's great. Thank you. Like I said, I'm going to start wrapping this up. Any last words? Anything else you want to talk about Space Monkey Comics or anything?
Not really. I mean, the only thing you can say is I just have fun with comics. Mm-hmm. And this is not to naysay anybody else's collecting habits, but I think what I enjoy about Space Monkey and what I enjoy with interacting with other people is I don't get hung up so much on the grades. I don't get hung up on the autographs and the variants. I enjoy reading comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before I'm a comic collector, I'm a comic reader.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people I connect with most when I sell. And
yes.
I want to instill that joy of reading.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else. I mean, if you've got 10 copies of, Avengers Annual number 5, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to reach out to that person who hasn't even read, an Avengers comic
mm-hmm.
and wants to know what a comic is. Or,
mm-hmm.
Or just embrace the joy of reading.
Yeah.
And just, the joy of adventure and the fun of it.
Yeah, that's great, Rich. Thank you very much. Again, where can people find you?
So once again, on Instagram, we're at Space Monkey Hawaii. On Facebook, you can search for Space Monkey Comics Hawaii, or the actual URL will be facebook.com/Space Monkey Hawaii. And of course, our email is going to be spacemonkeyhawaii@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Rich, before I wrap this up, again, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much. And then before you go, I just want to say, when I saw you guys, you and Grace, at the Toy Expo a couple months ago, what really stood out for me was, you guys were well-dressed. You guys had collar shirts on. Your table was set up really nice. You guys had your products out in front where people could see it. That's the thing that stood out for me. And we talked about this. I'm not trying to put down the regular guys who come to the conventions, t-shirt, jeans, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, you guys were well dressed. Like you guys meant business. That's what stood out to me. So it's just again, like I said, that's why I wanted to do this interview with you. Again, Rich, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I love talking with you, Jason. I love the opportunity to talk about Space Monkey Comics. So thank you very much, and thanks for the kind words about our table and our dress. Happy accidents, but it's brilliant. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, aloha.
That was my interview with Rich Melendez of Space Monkey Comics. Again, you can find Space Monkey Comics on Facebook, Space Monkey Hawaii, on Instagram, at Space Monkey Hawaii, and on Twitter, at Space Monkey Hi, H-I. Now, I want to thank a couple of people, you know, who made this interview possible. First off, you know, I want to thank John and Drew, you know, for letting me do this interview. You know, I ran this by them first, and, you know, and they said yes. Again, John and Drew, thank you very much for letting me interview Rich. Second, I want to thank Drew and Julie. Now, Julie is a listener of Drew's podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit. And I think she has an eBay store, Villains in Pants Comics. You know, so Drew and Julie, you know, submitted questions. So thank you very much for your questions. I'm sorry, Julie, you know, I didn't use your questions, but your questions about how does Rich attract customers via Facebook or Instagram was a source for me asking modified questions, you know, when we did talk about, you know, his Facebook followers. So again, Julie, thank you very much for your question. You know, and I want to thank Rich for, you know, taking the time to do this interview. You know, it was great talking to Rich about how Space Monkey got started and how it's evolving to an online eBay store. And Rich was a cool guy to talk to about comics. And, you know, he reminded me to be a comic book fan first, that the story is important, you know, and then to be the comic book collector. So, Rich, thank you very much. And like I said, it was great talking to you, Rich. It really was. Now, if you're a new listener to the show, welcome to the podcast. And please subscribe to the Weekly Comic Spotlight with John Mayall. He and Drew do a spoiler-free review episode every week on three comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and at least another comic. And also, please check out Drew's other podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit. You know, he and his brother Kyle, you know, they do comic book speculations on new comics every week. And lastly, you know, thank you everyone for listening to my interview with Rich Melendez of Space Monkey Comics. Until next time, aloha.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.